Well, good morning and welcome in the powerful name of Jesus. What a beautiful day outside we get to enjoy. I'd like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us and welcome to those worshiping via the live stream. It is a wonderful time when we can gather as the body of Christ to praise God and worship Him. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God has made us so that we bring those things in life that weigh us down, bring them to Him and turn them over so He can take care of it, so He can carry the load. We carry loads on our shoulders that are way too heavy for us to handle. God didn't design us to carry those heavy weights. And it's so easy to hold on to them and struggle through on our own day after day. So I invite you to join me in taking a minute or two to look at the week we came through and the week ahead and turn those things over to God that weigh us down, that are burdening us. So I invite you to bow your heads and join me in turning things over to God, and I will close that time in prayer. Heavenly Father, you created us not to carry heavy loads. Help us to hand them over to you to carry. We turn over our pain, our stress, our finances, our relationships, anything that is stealing the joy from our lives that we should be living out because of what you have done for us through Jesus, your Son. Free us this morning to worship you with all of our beings. Remove anything that is not from you. We give honor and glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we're gathered together today as the people of God. And we do this regularly. It's different than a gathering, other gathering you might go to, such as a sporting event or a political rally, or different than if you would be in line at the grocery store or at the mall. And one of the things that we do different here is we take an offering for some cause that we want to support. And this morning's offering is for Haiti and the ministries we have going on there through New Life Fellowship. So just during this first song, I invite the ushers to come forward and receive the offering. And we're going to sing about being the people of God.
With our lips, let us sing one confession. With our hearts sold to one truth alone, He has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us His own, His very own. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints every
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Beautiful, gorgeous, lovely day that you've given us to enjoy and to reflect upon how good you are. We thank you for this time that we can worship together in spirit and truth. We thank you for all of your blessings, and we offer back a portion for the work of the church and the work of New Life Missions in Haiti. And we thank you for this time and ask you to be here with us and guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The next song we're going to sing talks about the years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified. And this week I had a birthday, so I was telling Ann that every year when I have another birthday, the number of years where I didn't care about what God wanted me to do with my life, it gets a less and less percent of the life that God has allowed me to live. So there was, you know, I knew about God all my life, but there was a section where I didn't care much what he cared about. I had a lot of anger and a lot of selfishness and doing things my way. And that all still, that doesn't go away when you become a God follower, but the intent of wanting to do things God's way is something that's been different in my life since then. And so I'm thankful that all those years, even though that was years, it gets less and less a percent of my life as God gives me years going forward. So I invite you to stand to sing this.
For sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses.
How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Lord, we acknowledge that you are the living God, the judge of all the earth, and yet you have given all for us. We desire to exalt you in this gathering and in our daily lives, to treat as holy the blood that you shed for us, and to honor the gift of grace you have given abundantly. Lord, we are filled with gratitude to you. We offer our lives in service to you, in complete dependence on you.
Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. By your perfect sacrifice, is Jesus my redeemer? Sin has been deep.
prayer today that we would finish well, that we would carry out the purposes you have for us, and that as you speak to us saying, well done, you have kept the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. Over here, guys. Please sit down, guys. So I'm going to need a volunteer. Boy, his hand up. Okay, you have no idea what you're volunteering for, do you?
Can I do second?
Well, we're only going to need one this morning. So what did you think you just volunteered for?
I don't know.
You don't know. It could be something kind of scary or kind of strange, or see how many vegetables you could eat in a minute, or you just don't know, right? It's nothing bad. Here, all you got to do is wear a backpack. Is that difficult? No? Well, this morning we're going to talk about sharing each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So, what does that mean to share someone's burdens? Well, just as a little example, you're going to get to share some of my burdens that I'm carrying in here. So you're going to have to face everyone out there while I put some burdens in your... Maybe I'm dealing with something and it's really getting heavy for me to carry. And so how does that feel to share my burden? See, I didn't give you everything that's in here. You're only helping to carry half of what was in here. Does that feel heavy?
Really heavy.
Really heavy? But see, now my load is lighter. It's not really heavy, and so you just made my load lighter. So that's kind of what sharing our burdens does. It helps, we help others carry what they're dealing with. All right, you can take that off and just set it down there.
And
I won't
wear it.
So how can we help people carry their burdens? Well, we can listen to someone, right? They can share what is going on in their lives. Oh man, school's about to start. I'm really nervous. I'm really stressed. I'm not sure what I'm going to get into this year. School's not very easy for me. We can listen to someone as they share their burdens, right? How else can we help people share their burdens? Well, we can be a friend of theirs, right? If we're someone's friend, they know that they can come to us for help. They can come talk to us, and we'll be there to listen to them. We can also pray for them, right? Praying for somebody is very important because God hears what we pray and He works in the situation that we face. And when I know that people are praying for me, that really encourages me. It strengthens me and it lifts me up. So, three ways we can help people carry their burdens: listen, be a friend, and pray. So what were the three things? Do you guys remember what they are?
Listen.
Be
a friend.
Be a friend.
And share your burden. Wait,
and pray. And pray, yes. So those are three ways. There's many others ways we can help people carry their burdens, but those are three simple ways that we can help people carry their burdens. So my bag is still really heavy. And there's a burden in here that I'd like to share with everybody. And you can have one. After I pray for you, you guys can get a snack. So I'm going to pray, and then you guys can help share the burdens that I was carrying. So shall we pray? You guys close your eyes while we pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these children. I just pray that you would bless them, draw them closer to you each day, and help them to know you are there to help them carry their burdens. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and then head back to your seats. I think I might have tied the bag shut. I'm not sure. Well, good morning again, and welcome. Your prayers for me and my family, they are appreciated very much. They help us each day. I would like to take a minute right now and pray for anyone who is going back to school, whether you're a learner or a teacher or an aide or a helper. I'd invite you to stand up right now if you're going to school so that I can have a prayer for you. So will you please stand? And as you look around, you can see everyone who's standing. Remember them in your prayers. So shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the ability to learn. I just pray that you would watch over and protect those who are going back to school. I pray that it would be easy for them to learn and that they would strive to do their best every day. Be with the teachers, the aides, and the helpers. I just pray that you would give them patience. You would give them extra energy and strength. Give them wisdom. Help the teachers and the students to honor you in all that they do every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to you as you start a new school year. Last Sunday, we started looking at the Church of Pergamum. And we're going to finish that letter today, and then we're going to cover the letter of Thyatira today. The more time I spend digging into these letters of the seven churches, the more things stand out to me, and the more they are linked together and connected. Like this, the description of Jesus in each letter, it really applies to each church. Smyrna, thus says the first and the last, the one who was dead and is now alive. This region was dead, and they came to life in Christ, and they are alive and living for him. Pergamum, thus says the one who has the sharp double-edged sword. Pergamum was a Roman-controlled region, and Romans used double-edged swords, and there was a Roman governor living in that city. He had the authority to sentence people to death. Thyatira, thus says the Son of God, whose eyes are like a fiery flame, whose feet are like fine bronze. Well, the region of Thyatira was known for its bronze work. They used fire to smelt the bronze to make the things that they wanted. The authority of Jesus over everything, it just stands out in these letters in very small detail and very large detail. This is why reading the book of Revelation is profitable for each one of us. We might read it and something will stand out, and we'll read it again, and something else will stand out. The more we dig into it, the more we learn what God has for us. So we know that Jesus is the one telling John to write what he's seeing in his vision that he is having. We have looked at the good things at the Church of Pergamum and what they have done. They're clinging to the name of Jesus and not denying him in their faith. They're being faithful in the land where the people are worshiping idols and other gods. Jesus commends their faithful witness, Antipas, who stood firm in his faith, and he was martyred for his faith. He did not turn away. He did not give in. And we know that Jesus saw everything that was happening around them and happened to them, And in the same way, he sees us. He sees what is going on in our lives each and every day, down to the smallest detail. There is nothing hidden from him. Jesus sees everything that we go through, good and bad. So we're going to look at the letter to the church of Pergamum. It's Revelations 2, 12 to 17. Write to the angel of the church in Pergamum. Thus says the one who has the sharp double-edged sword, I know where you live, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding on to my name and did not deny your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death among you, where Satan lives, but I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold on to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites, to eat meat sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. In the same way, you also have those who hold on to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So repent, otherwise I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who receives it. Jesus tells the church that he has some things against them, and that they need to repent of those things. The first thing that Jesus brings up is Balaam. You know, the guy with the talking donkey. Balaam is the man that King Balak of Moab sent for so that he could come and put a curse on the nation of Israel so that he might defeat Israel in battle. Israel is camped right outside of his territory, and he is afraid of what will happen to him because he saw how Israel wiped out the Amorites. Balaam is told by God that he can't go with the men that Balak had sent. So they go back, and then Balak sends more men. And a second time, Balaam seeks God, what should he do? And God says that he can go with them if they ask him to go. So Balaam gets up and he leaves with the men sent by Balak. And God gets angry because Balaam did not follow God's command. They didn't come to Balaam and ask him to go with them. Balaam had just got up and left. And this is where we have the interaction with the talking donkey and the angel of the Lord who is going to strike Balaam down. But the donkey kind of intercedes for him. Balaam arrives to the place where Balak is. And Balaam ends up putting a blessing on the nation of Israel because God told him to bless Israel and not curse him. And I'd invite you to read that account in Numbers 22 to 25 at some point this week. In the letter in Revelation, it says that Balaam is the one who taught Balak how to corrupt Israel. The Israelites had problems serving false gods, and we can read that from the time they left Egypt until the time they entered the Promised Land and then moving forward. The Israelites were lured by the women of Moab to worship other gods and meat sacrificed to idols. Numbers 25, 1 to 3. While Israel was staying in the acacia grove, the people began to prostitute themselves with the women of Moab. The women invited them to sacrifices for their gods, and the people ate and bowed in worship to their gods. So Israel aligned itself with Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. We see that Israel was enticed to serve other gods and not the one true living God. Balaam used omens and other means we would call witchcraft. And he also did seek God. He was kind of considered a prophet, but he did things that were not of following God. He did this to bring blessings and curses on people for profit. It was his job. You would pay him and he would come and he would curse people or bless them. And it tells us this in the book of Jude. People in the church of Pergamum were worshiping idols and committing sexual immorality, just like the sins of the nation of Israel that they dealt with. So you can see the parallel between them. Then Jesus brings a second charge against the church. The people are following the teachings of the Nicolaitans. And the teaching of the Nicolaitans is like this: my body is evil, but my soul and my spirit is good. So I can do anything immoral with my body. It doesn't matter, because my soul and spirit is the part that is receiving grace. That goes directly against God's word. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. God says that he hates the practices of the Nicolaitans. The church is tolerating these sinful practices. They're just letting things go. They're not dealing with it. They're not calling it out and calling it sin. They're tolerating it. And Jesus is calling them to repent. He is going to bring judgment quickly. Listen to Revelation 19:11-16. Then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a fiery flame, and many crowns were on his head. He had a name written that no one knows except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies that were in heaven followed him on white horses, wearing pure white linen. A sharp sword came from his mouth so that he might strike the nations with it. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will also trample the winepress of the fierce anger of God the Almighty. And he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God's judgment will come swiftly and without warning. So are you ready for that day when the Lord returns and we face judgment? We need to be aware and alert so things do not creep into the church, so we do not tolerate things that are against God. When we remain faithful until the end and conquer, actively fighting for God's kingdom, we will receive a reward, hidden manna, and a stone inscribed on it with a new name that no one knows except Jesus and the one who receives it. It will be special to each one of us who perseveres to the end. God is calling the church of Pergamum to repent of their sinful actions and come back to him before it is too late. And in the same way, he calls us as his church to come back to him, to repent of the things in our lives that we need to turn over to him and ask for forgiveness of before it is too late. He gives us time. He is gracious. He gives us time to repent. Yet when our time is up, that's it. We have no more. The letter to the church of Thyatira, that's Revelations 2:18-29. I invite you to turn to that. That's Revelations 2:18-29. Write to the angel of the church of Thyatira, thus says the Son of God, the one whose eyes are like a fiery flame and whose feet are like fine bronze. I know your works, your love, your faithfulness, service, and endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my servants by servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Look, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction. Unless they repent of her works, I will also strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who haven't known the so-called secrets of Satan, as they say, I am not putting any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works to the end, I will give him authority over nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them like pottery. Just as I have received this from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus, again, is the one speaking to John and showing him what to write to this church. Jesus knows their works. He knows their love. He knows their faithfulness. He knows their service and their endurance. Jesus says that their last works are greater than their first. This shows growth. It shows maturity. It shows that the church is alive. It is active. It's not dead. The people of the church, they tolerate this false teaching of this self-proclaimed prophet Jezebel. Some people believe that this is a reference to 1 Kings, and this might not actually be the person's name. So Jezebel in 1 Kings led Israel into worshiping other gods and practicing immorality, just like it talks about in this letter. Elijah has this showdown on Mount Carmel with all the prophets of Baal. And God proves himself that he is the one and only true God. All the servants of Baal are killed, and Jezebel gets angry and threatens Elijah, and he runs off into the desert. We can see the parallel between 1 Kings and this letter in Revelations in what Jezebel is doing to the church, leading them away from God to follow things that are false. Jesus says he gave her time to repent and she didn't. Then Jesus tells us what judgment she will face. She is going to be on a sickbed, and her followers into immorality will face affliction. Unless they repent of her works, he is going to strike their children dead. How does this apply to us? God is going to bring judgment, and he wants us to repent and turn to him. He gives us time to do that and turn away from our sins. See, when we follow God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, our minds, and our strengths, and do not let false things lead us astray, we will receive a reward. On the other hand, when we don't repent of the things that God says are sins and we continue to live in them, turning away from God to other things, he's going to bring judgment on us, leading to that eternal separation from him. We're not guaranteed another breath in this life. God is the only one who knows the number of our days. God is gracious, and he gives us time to turn back to him. And when the number of days is up, that's it. There's no more. We won't have any more opportunities to turn back to God, asking him for forgiveness or asking Jesus to come into our hearts for the first time as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus says he is the one who examines our hearts and our minds. It's not just our works that he looks at. He looks at what's in our heart. and in our minds, what we're thinking about, what our heart is following. Matthew 5:21-22. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not murder, and whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court, and whoever says you fool will be subject to hellfire. Jesus is telling us that he sees what is in our hearts, and that we need to be aware of our attitudes, the things that we are holding on to in our hearts, so that we will not face judgment for them. It holds anger and murder in the same level. And it's so easy to hold on to anger towards somebody, holding a grudge towards somebody. They didn't treat me fairly. I deserve this, or I deserve that. The only way we can combat this is by forgiving the ones that hurt us, the ones that offend us. On Thursday, I was on my way to the chiropractor, and there was a loaded dump truck behind me, and a car turned, and then I wanted the next road, so I had to wait a little bit to turn my turn signal on, and then I turned into the driveway. Well, I turned into the driveway really fast because that dump truck was right on my bumper. I'm like, wow, this guy is never going to be able to stop. And that really irked me as I was sitting there in the parking lot. I'm like, man, I really want to call that company that he works for and complain about that guy. I have a CDL. I know what it is to drive truck. I know you deal with traffic. But that guy was following way too close, and he was going way too fast. He was being unsafe. And I'm like, no, I have to let it go. I can't get angry about little things like that. And there are times where I have to actually pray for that person just to let it go and turn it over to God. After the warning of judgment that comes, Jesus says to the faithful ones, the ones who have not been led astray, the ones who have not turned from following him, the ones who have faithfully been followers of Jesus, the ones who didn't go into adultery and idolatry, of those who claimed that they were part of the church, they didn't follow them, they were truly the church, and they stood up for Christ to the end. They have been conquerors. This authority that Jesus gives us comes from his Father, and he passes it to us. Jesus says that he is the morning star. Jesus says in Revelation 22:16 that he is the bright and morning star. Jesus is saying that he's going to give himself to us as our reward. He gave himself on the cross for everyone, but yet he's going to give more of himself to us as a reward for faithfully following him. Through all the things that we face in this fallen world, the encouragement that we receive from God's word to stand firm in our faith, it should strengthen us. It should push us forward to persevere so that we strive each day not to give in to the temptations of this world. Stand strong in your faith to the end. Be faithful to the end. Do not be led astray. If you are led astray, ask God for forgiveness and repent and come back to him. I'd encourage you to keep digging into the book of Revelations and ask God to reveal more of its meaning to you, because every time I read it, I learn more and more, and more stands out to me of what God is doing and how everything ties together. We receive more truth from it. Remember that Jesus is the one we are to worship with all of our beings. It's not this world. We need to be alert of all the false teachings that are out there, that are being thrown at us. They look real, but when you dig into them, they're not. Stand firm in your faith till the end and receive the reward that Jesus has for you. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, and your Holy Spirit that you have given to us. Lead us and guide us in our lives. Help us each day to stand firm in our faith and worship you only. Give us strength to stand strong against the enemy's attacks and not give in to false teachings or be led astray. Reveal more of yourself to us daily as we dig into your word and as we draw closer to you and stand firm in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
Stand this same song, The Great I Am.
Driver,
you sign up to pray for a student from the congregation for the school year. And I believe that praying is something we will never regret doing. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about, you know, how we build our lives on wood, hay, stubble, or gold and silver, gold and precious jewels. And prayer is building with precious jewels. The time we spend praying is something we're never going to regret doing. It's important. Prayer builds for eternity. And so I need about 20 more people to sign up. But I'd love it if you'd all sign up. Older people who have been tested by life. Parents, you appreciate that your children are being prayed for. Well, pray for somebody else's. Young adults, it's been not that long since you went through this. So pray for the children that are going through what you had just went through. And even if you're online, call me, text me, I'll sign you up. You know, I'd love for everybody to sign up to pray for a child during the school year. And other years, we had encouraged you to use these Pray For Me books. And if you enjoyed doing it that way, go ahead. But I don't want that to stop you. If you didn't really get into using the books, just still sign up to pray for a child every day during the school year. And and if you still have these books and you're not using them, I'd appreciate it if you'd give it back to me, mailbox or give it to me or whatever. And I'll give you a tip, because my forgetters in good working order. There are times that I'd forget to pray for my student. And one good way that I've found, it's great, you set an alarm on your phone. For me, it's 7 a.m. every day. My alarm goes off, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I get to pray for my student. And I get to pray. It's a reminder for me to pray for my own children and my grandchildren, too. It's just a reminder. It's good. It's good to pray. It builds for eternity. And our schools, many of our schools are starting even earlier this year. A lot of them are starting Tuesday or Wednesday. Usually it's a week or two later, but now it's... So I don't have them assigned yet. So pray for all of the children that you saw standing up. Pray for them this week as they start school. And I plan to get the prayer partners assigned this week, so I want you to sign up today if you haven't, and you feel like God's telling you that you want to spend some time building into our church, into our children, and into yourself, too. So let's invest in this, and use the sign-up sheets downstairs and out here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Donna. It is a simple act to pray for someone. You can leave a note on your refrigerator, on your coffee maker, hey, pray for this person each day. So I'd encourage you to sign up to pray for somebody. So as a reminder of our announcement we had last week, to write your testimonies on a Connect card, or if you want to write more, put it on a piece of paper. If you want to verbally share a testimony in front of us on September 24th, we're having a special service for that. I just encourage you to write a note on a Connect card and put them in the box. And those are due by September 10th, so we can plan and organize what we're all going to do. So I'd encourage you to take the time to do that. Separate from that, if you have a testimony or a praise that you want to share with the rest of us as a congregation, please contact me, and then the very next Sunday, I will make space for you. We might be having a special service, but that's okay. We can still share a testimony. So if you have a praise item or a testimony that you want to share, please contact me, and We'll make room the very next Sunday for you to share that during our worship service. So will you stand for the parting benediction? Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Seek God every moment of every day. You're dismissed.